On a sunny Saturday morning in California, my spouse Ryan and I arrived at the Chabad House of Oakland for Shabbat. The website had promised that the 10 a.m. service would be followed by a delicious kiddush and cholent. It was my last year of seminary, and a class project sent me out to learn about another faith tradition through its food. I had heard of cholent, the slow-cooked stew started before the Sabbath. I wasn't sure what kiddush was, but I was interested in anything described as delicious. The Chabad house was about 10 blocks from our house. We could have walked, as the Orthodox Jews observing the Sabbath would, but we'd taken too long to get ready and had no time to spare. So down the hill we sped. 15 minutes late, we parked and walked up to an unassuming office building. The window read Chabad of Oakland, but the door was locked and the lights were off. Fearing my project was doomed, I hurriedly found another Orthodox Jewish congregation, Beth Jacob, and headed there. We walked in and a youngish man with curly hair and a beard greeted us. "They're just finishing the Torah reading," he said. He gave Ryan a kippah to cover his head and offered him a tallit, a prayer shawl. He directed me to the entrance of the women's side of the room. I sat toward the back. A young woman joined me. "Do you read Hebrew?" she asked. "A little, but not very well anymore," I replied. She handed me a transliterated prayer book and guided me through the service. At the end, the rabbi announced, "Kiddush in the downstairs social hall. Shabbat shalom." "Yes, now the food." Everyone rose to their feet, greeting one another. The division between the men and women all but disappeared as children zoomed around and couples rejoined one another. I found Ryan, and Yossi found us. This silvery-haired man, wearing a well-tailored suit, introduced us to Rabbi Davies, who couldn't have been much older than 30. The rabbi offered to show us to the social hall. We walked past the bookstore and children's classrooms to a dining area with adjacent kosher kitchen. And that's when we saw it. A table littered with wine-stained Dixie cups and a crumb-covered cookie tray. An interesting set of decadent silver cups stood watch over the wasteland. I assumed this was kiddush. While I poured two small cups of wine, the other rabbi, Rabbi Dardick, apologetically explained that they used to have a meal every Saturday, but the synagogue cut back to every other week. We would have to come back another time for food. By now, Yossi had reappeared with his daughter clinging to his leg, and he had heard our whole story about why we were there. He didn't seem to mind that a couple Christians had infiltrated the synagogue. Yossi was happy to answer my questions about kosher food. He compared the practice to putting gas in a car. "If you have an engine that just takes premium gasoline, that's what you should put in it," he said. "God has given us the laws of kashrut to know what kind of fuel to put in our bodies. Kosher is what God says is good." Hungry to learn more, a few days later, I met Rabbi Davies for lunch at Amba, a new kosher restaurant in Oakland, named after a tangy mango pickle condiment popular in Iraqi and Israeli Jewish cuisine. Walking in with the rabbi, I certainly got a sense of the local Jewish community. A young man in his 20s wearing an Amba t-shirt and hat pulled down over a mass of brown curls greeted us with a genuine, "Hey, Rabbi," as he slid behind the cash register to take our order. While we waited for our food, Rabbi Davies took me to the hand-washing station. He explained how observant Jews must ritually wash their hands prior to eating a meal. I poured water from the two-handed washing cup first on my right hand, then the left, then the right, then the left. He fed me the lines of the prayer, which I repeated, "Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam." At the table, we said the motzi, a blessing over the bread of our pita sandwiches. I took a big bite of my sabich, a fried eggplant sandwich with hard-boiled egg, Israeli salad, cabbage salad, and tahini. It was delicious. As the juices ran down my arm, I asked where folks from Beth Jacob usually shop for their holy food. He mentioned the local butcher and the baker, but admitted that most people did the bulk of their shopping at Lucky Supermarket and Trader Joe's, where they could get kosher staples such as Empire Chicken and Golden West Glatt beef products. "What's Glatt?" I'd asked. In between bites of his falafel, Rabbi Davies warned me that this wasn't good table talk. When the supervising rabbi looks inside a slaughtered animal, if the lining of the lung is smooth with no abrasions, then the meat is glatt. Borrowing from Yoshi's metaphor, I took that to mean glatt is like super premium fuel. Since Ryan and I had accidentally gone to Beth Jacob on a cookie kiddush week, we went back in hopes of getting the full experience. This time, after the rabbi announced the kiddush in the downstairs hall, we tried to get there earlier. But the curious congregants really wanted to get to know us better. Once they knew we were not Jewish, most were markedly less interested, some a bit suspicious. One woman asked, "So you're studying us?" "Well, learning about you," I said, "as a participant, though it would take me years to learn all that is necessary to fully participate in the worship services." After this slight delay, we made our way hurriedly to the social hall to find a great buffet of hummus and salads from none other than Amba. But once again, we had missed the Kiddush blessing. Undeterred, I returned to the synagogue on a Friday morning to explore more. The Gan Matov preschoolers had just finished making challah. I could smell the sweet bread baking as I walked through the synagogue with Rabbi Davies. He showed me the large upstairs social hall with its separate dairy and meat kitchens, a hand-washing station, and a wet bar. I snapped a photo of the different double-handed washing cups as well as the fancy silver Kiddush cups, which I had yet to see in use. In the front entryway, I met Sid, a retired man in a baseball cap. He asked me where I'm from, and when I said, "Here in Oakland, just over by Grand Lake Theater," he said, "Oh, you're by the butcher and the baker." He seemed to be waiting for confirmation. "Yes, I've been to Grand Bakery. I really love their cookies. I haven't been to the butcher yet." He seemed satisfied that I knew the cultural landmarks. "Eh, the butcher's too expensive," he said. "We get most of our meat from Trader Joe's. It's a good deli, though." I had learned a lot about Jewish traditions and customs, but I still hadn't seen the Kiddush. So I went back again on another Saturday. I had way too much homework to spend the whole morning there, so I just slipped in the back at 11 a.m. for the last part of the prayers. I listened to Rabbi Dardick's drash and waited for his now familiar cue. "Kiddush in the downstairs social hall. Shabbat shalom." I hustled downstairs. Rabbi Dardick took his place at the pristine table and prepared the wine. In my direction, he said, "Some people just come for the food." Then he sang the Kiddush blessing. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, barei pari hagafen. And poured the wine into the top silver cup and then into the fountain that flowed into the surrounding silver cups. He drank from one of them, then handed a couple cups to the other men standing nearby. The people who had gathered around said, "Amen," and drank. A fraction of the congregation was there for the Kiddush blessing. Many of them were still wandering in, deep in conversation, enjoying each other's company, moving at a leisurely pace, actually celebrating Shabbat. A couple days later, driving on my normal route between Oakland and Berkeley, I saw two large sculptures spelling out "here" and "there," each angled so cars from opposite directions would see one or the other. It was my first time seeing either of them, but Ryan assured me that the sculptures had always been there. Always rushing here and there, I never slowed down enough to notice. I learned something deeper than I expected from the Orthodox Jewish community of Oakland. They moved at a different pace. At least on Saturdays, they made space to do less and just be. I had been waiting for the delicious Kiddush, but I had experienced it all along, a day and time set aside and made holy. I have such a deep need for that kind of intentionality in the busy rhythm of my life. After all those weeks, I finally tasted that delicious blessing, savoring a day of enjoyment, of God and community, through hummus and a little red wine.
Molly Dalbaum shared her story at Oates Garden Party in the summer. The special storytelling event was supported by the Siouxland District Health Department's Worksite Garden Program, which encourages employees to grow fresh fruits and vegetables where they work. Join us on Wednesdays to hear more. Next week.
It was the early 80s, and this procedure was the hot new fight against fat.
Ode is a storytelling series where community members tell true stories on stage to promote positive impact through empathy. It's produced by Siouxland Public Media. You can listen to past stories online at kwit.org. Our next show will be Friday, February 2, celebrating Ode's second anniversary. The theme is risk. Updates about Ode can be found on Facebook. The music you're hearing was played live by Devin Cadwell at the Garden Party. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Allie Carson.
Arise, young soul, so you can see what you want to someday be. Instead of wishing that you could face your fears, unwrap the tears that you cry. Take back the breath that you sigh. It is not lost. For now, don't consider the cost. Don't consider the cost. Mafia, stuck at our heels. So let's fly from this sinking ship before it keels. I'll swim to the shore, being crushed by the waves. I'll grab your hand so you don't float away. We'll wash up to some weary deserted place. Out just yet.